Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
It is noon on Monday on Peacock, but it is 5 o'clock somewhere, possibly in Phoenix, Arizona, where the Super Bowl is and where a party is happening at the Media Center in the Convention Center in downtown Phoenix. See, doesn't this look like a party? It's very early in the morning. He's Jay Croucher. I'm Matthew Berry. We are live from the Super Bowl. It's very exciting. So this is what is called Radio Row, even though it doesn't look like a row. But if you expanded this, and there's like a bunch of different broadcast outlets all here, and it's a massive. There you go. There's a big shot of it. So you see, and every single table that you see is a company. You see TikTok there in the back. There's radio stations. It's the runs the gamut, right? Whether it's from big sports betting companies or social media companies like TikTok or companies like us here at NBC Sports, the biggest of the big, the smallest of the small. And you walk through Radio Row, Jay Croucher.
Yes, I'm just,
because I've been here before. I know this is your first time.
It's not my first time.
So I know it's your first time. So if I can give you some rules of advice, some helpful hints, yes. You got to keep moving, because otherwise you're going to get hit up. Like, I've already been booked on the Ithaca College sports podcast. Like, walking through, you get stopped and asked to do stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess when I was the negative first time I was on Radio Row last year in Los Angeles, the thing is like, you walk around and you're looking at your phone, and then you bump into someone and you say sorry. It's like, oh, I just bumped into Debo Samuel and almost knocked him over. It's just very random. But no, it's great to be here. Producer Ryan is obsessed with us talking about our experience in Phoenix so far. We've been here 12 hours. Most of that was sleep for me. I like the air, good humidity. Been very happy with that.
Yeah, he's
so
like,
far.
He's like, Producer Ryan's like, oh, yeah, talk about, you know, what it's been like being in Phoenix. I'm like, I landed in the airport, went to the hotel, had dinner with you know, the staff here on the show, and went to bed.
Yeah, I had a 6 out of 10 incident with the iron this morning. Put it on 3 when I was supposed to be on 2. That's probably the most notable thing that's happened in Phoenix so far.
I'm just impressed you know how to use an iron. I don't.
Yeah.
My wife is coming out Thursday, and I got to keep my clothes wrinkle free until she shows up. The only thing that happened to me that was notable. So you get to the Phoenix airport, and there's a bunch of signs, and you hear this announcement: "Welcome to the friendliest airport in America." And I don't know what that means. What a friendly airport means, yeah. But I have an idea. So I'm walking with my, I'm literally walking with my bag, like, and I posted this on Instagram and everything like that. Friday I was in West Virginia because I was taking my kid. West Virginia University is one of the places that he got into, and so I took my kid there on for a campus tour on Friday. Saturday I was in Key West, Florida. There was a secret Jimmy Buffett show that I got invited to. 200 people flew down there, and then Sunday I'm in Phoenix. So three cities, three time zones, in less than a weekend. And so anyway, so I've got these huge bags. I look like a Sherpa. I mean, I've got these massive bags on my shoulders because I'm here until the following Monday. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up to me and she says, "Are you here for the Super Bowl?" And I said, I am. And then she goes, "Do you know Joe Burrow?" And I go, I know who he is, obviously. I've met him once. I wouldn't say we're best friends or anything. Like, now I'm like, does she recognize me? You know, like, I don't know. And then she goes, "Oh, well, you should take my number so we can have some fun later." And I'm like, "Oh, oh, that's what this is. Well, and I'm like, well, my wife is, I said, I don't think my wife would appreciate that very much. I'm going to decline to give you my number, but I wish you luck tonight. And moved on. But I was just like, oh, maybe that's what they mean by the friendliest airport in America.
Well, two things. One, you kind of look like a Sherpa right now with that jacket on. Very fair. Suspect
that's
wardrobe
fair.
Choice.
Two, I like this. This is from our wardrobe department.
There was a stain on it as well, which is a whole other incident. That was another defining Phoenix moment. Two, also, I just love that in this interaction, you explained how you know Joe Burrow, but you don't really know him, but you kind of know him, and explained
right.
that to a...
humble brag to a stranger?
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, first thing.
Well, I didn't know, because usually when people recognize me, it's dudes. But sometimes, you know, women recognize me. And so when she said, like, are you here for the Super Bowl? If it was somebody that recognized me, oh, hey, are you here for the Super Bowl? Natural first question. Do you know Joe Burrow is a random one? But, like, I don't know, maybe she's like some crazy Cincinnati Bengals fan. So I'm like, no, I don't, because I do know some players, but that's not somebody I know. But I have met once. I have a photo of me with Joe Burrow. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy. Yeah. As you've said before, you are the ultimate wingman. You're a man magnet.
One of the great
man magnets. Maybe the best in America.
It's unbelievable. Like, I cannot tell you how many female friends I have that are like, I want to just hang with you, because if I go to a bar, like, every dude will come up to you and then I can sort of take my pick. And so, anyway, it's a friendly city. That's what we've. And then now we're here at Radio Row.
And great air and humidity. Should we talk about the Pro Bowl?
We can talk. Right. So here's what's coming up today on the show, and here's what's coming up for the week on the show. Okay. So first off, number one is Mike Florio, the great Mike Florio for Pro Football Talk, is coming up today later on the show. He's here. He's part of the full Peacock lineup that we've got going on all week long. What we're going to do here is people are like, well, it's what's the show doing out here all week? And I'll tell you what we're doing. We're boondoggling. That's what we're doing. We're boondoggling on the company dime. But we are going to actually produce content, and among the things we're going to do, so this is it's a little bit dead because it's a Monday, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a ton of NFL players have been coming through, a ton of celebrities, so we'll be talking to them all week long. Today we just have Mike Florio, but like we're going to have some actual big names later in the week, and that's, by the way, it's also like this is a good, I'm going random here for a second, but this is, Radio Row is a great way to sort of figure out where you stand in that kind of universe, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Cause like I got booked on Ithaca College's podcast,
yeah.
You know, that probably has like 12 listeners. So there you go. It's good to know sort of where you land. But we're going to talk to celebrities. We're going to talk about athletes. We're obviously going to talk a lot of betting props. BetMGM has a bunch of great props around the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about the game and ways to play and enjoy the game all week long as well. And we're going to talk to some celebrities and friends, and you know, we'll have a lot of people drop by, which will be great, Jay. But let's start, to your point, we did have some actual football yesterday.
We did.
Sort of.
Yeah. How do we fix the Pro Bowl, Matthew? Because it doesn't really feel like it's
I thought it was better. I thought this was a better attempt.
It was better. Progress.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
still,
like, they tried something different. I give them credit for trying something.
Yes. And it's difficult because it's an exhibition in a contact sport where you don't want anyone to get injured. So how do you make it meaningful? Like, we need an equivalent of the home run derby or something that can just kind of lift it. But I thought yesterday was good. There were some moments. I think the best one was Jalen Ramsey bodying Tyreek Hill,
yeah.
Which was a fun one. And then Tyreek Hill
being
here.
Yeah, here it is. Here it is. So there you go. He's going to the end zone. He's got a shot. He's got a boom. There you go. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey's just like, look at
That's
this.
The flag.
Boom! Like, he leans into the shoulder. There you go. Like, Devontae Adams, like, just sort of, like, tosses to Tyreek Hill, you know, which I admire that. Oh, no. And then Tyreek's dead. So you see it there on your screen. Look, I thought it does. It was a great moment, but it also shows you just how badly the Pro Bowl needs moments because,
yeah.
Like, that's the most talked about thing since Sean Taylor, the late, great Sean Taylor of my Washington professional football team, as you see it here on your screen. This is like the greatest moment in Pro Bowl history. Just comes out of nowhere
Bang.
And just boom, just absolutely decks him, just floors him. That's one of the top five Sean Taylor moments of my life, is Mormon just absolutely gets leveled.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting that at all. The thing I like about Jalen Ramsey, one, where was that against Deebo Samuel on that touchdown running at
right?
the Rams early in the season? Would have liked to see that. I think the other big winner, outside of Ramsey and dead Tyreek Hill, Derek Carr's having a week. for himself on social media.
Yes, he is.
He's really going off. And I'm not sure if it was a highlight or low light, but Derek Carr doing the gritty was something that just kind of adds to the art of the legend, I guess. It's not great.
Well, it wasn't just the gritty, but it was also the post-game interview where they were asking him, like, have you ever been on fire like that in Las Vegas? And he's like, no, that's probably why I'm moving to another team.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony, what's weird is that Derek Carr is one of those guys that's known, one of those players who's known for blocking a lot of people on Twitter.
Right.
Like, he gets sensitive. Like, there's some people that just don't block anyone, and it's clear that their social media is run by somebody else. You know what I mean? And then there's, I guess Derek Carr runs his own, and he's well known for blocking a lot of people that are fairly negative. And, like, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's, there's just a moment of freedom now for Derek Carr, where he's just like, you know,
the thing. It feels like a weight has been lifted because he doesn't have to carry this, you know, 7-10 team every single season. Now I feel like his approval rating has just gone through the roof. He's become a figure of sympathy because no one thinks that he should have been treated that way, that he gets benched basically because of an injury guarantee on around his contract. And now he'll get to choose a new team. Might go to my New York Jets, might go somewhere fun, get out of Vegas.
Or my Commanders.
Your Commanders?
Yeah.
Do you want him?
Huh? Yeah, I'd be fine with him. Like, I mean, I guess it depends on sort of how the NFL draft goes, but I'd be fine with Derek. You can win with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is Kirk Cousins. Derek, like, and I say that with no disrespect. Like, that's what he, you know what I mean? Like, he's a solid top 12-ish quarterback. You can win with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is not Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts, a guy that's going to be like, get on my back, I'm doing this by myself. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that guy. But is he a solid, above-average professional quarterback who can make all the throws, who can run an offense? 100%. You can absolutely win with Derek Carr.
He's tier 2.5, I think. I'm not quite giving him tier 2. I think tier 2 is more, well, one, I think Mahomes is probably just tier 1 by himself. And then it's Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Herbert. I think Carr's the next step down from those guys.
Which is fine. But, right, I mean, I think he's in that Kirk Cousins, I mean, like...
Daniel Jones.
Dak Prescott, maybe?
Wow. Lighting up Dak Prescott.
Well, but,
really,
right?
Yeah. No, I agree. But, I mean, I think they're similar tier. I mean, there's a few other names that we can throw around. Jared Goff is probably slightly below that, but Carr's probably slightly better.
Maybe, I mean, we think Trevor Lawrence is ascending, but where Trevor Lawrence is right now is probably in that tier.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just, that's, my only point is that if you put a decent team around Derek Carr, you can win. He took, you think about what he did last year. I don't know where we're going off on Derek Carr thing, but whatever. It's the Super Bowl. We got all week to talk about one game. We're fine, guys. You think about Derek Carr last year. That's a team that has the rug situation, has the Gruden email situation. Like, that team went through so much turmoil off the field last year, made the playoffs, and, by the way, gave Cincinnati not only a run, like, honestly, I think horribly officiated game that the Raiders got screwed in. Easily, that game easily could have gone the Raiders' way. And now, who knows? I mean, obviously, the Bengals ended up making the Super Bowl last year. And then, you know, this year, obviously, they and I don't think they should have, but they got rid of Bisaccia. They got rid of Greg Olsen, the offense coordinator, who's completely underrated, by the way. If you look at what Greg Olsen has done with his offenses throughout his NFL career, whether it was with the Raiders, whether it was when it was Jared Goff's quarterback coach, you know, he's done a lot with a little throughout his career. I know he interviewed for the Chargers offense coordinator position, but that's a guy that should be getting more love. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, they bring in McDaniels and, like, it just goes south, and I don't know. I think you can win with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Derek Carr will absolutely have many suitors this offseason.
Yeah, it's good. It's Seg 1 on Radio Row. You've already managed to annihilate both the officials and Dak Prescott, so we're up and away.
Tell me, by the way, it wasn't just... By the way, it was Jerome Boger that officiated that game, and they never do this. The NFL literally announced after that game, after that Bengals-Raiders game a year ago, that he would not officiate any more games in the playoffs. Like, when you have to announce that, when you have to release that as a press release, that's a bad sign, Jay Croucher.
Yeah, it's not a great
sign. If NBC comes out and says, don't worry, Matthew Berry will not be broadcasting anymore from the Super Bowl, that's when I call my agent and I start packing up the office. You understand what I'm talking about? Like, that's not good.
Yes, that's not good. What was kind of good in a way, at least brought the feels
back.
Was
there anything else about the Pro Bowl that we wanted to talk about?
Well, yeah, I was leading into the Kirk Cousins RG3 photo.
Oh, yeah, this was magic.
Yeah, something,
can we
right?
show this? Like, look at this. So this is a photo. So this is RG3, former Washington first-round pick, interviewing former fourth-round pick Kirk Cousins from Washington. Cousins, of course, now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. RG3, my former colleague at ESPN, now part of their broadcast team, who I think he does a really good job, by the way. I like RG3. I like him. I liked him as a player. I like him as a broadcaster. I like RG3. But this photo is unbelievable to me.
It is, and it's not usual. Usually, a photo to be unbelievable has to reach a higher kind of ceiling than just two people standing next to each other, but there's a lot going on. There's so much backstory behind that, and obviously everything that happened with RG3 succeeded by Kirk Cousins, but...
Well, I mean, the thing that people forget, I mean, so first off, RG3 is drafted number one overall, and number two, because number two, obviously, Andrew Luck was traded drafted number one that year. But Washington traded like two firsts to or might have been three, to move up to grab RG3, just this massive bounty that they sent. And so they go over and they draft him. Okay. And then everyone's like, Kyle Shanahan's the coach and the general manager. And then they draft Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. I'm like, we just traded all this stuff to draft. Like, we have so many needs. Why didn't you get this? It was three first-rounders officially. Three first-rounders. Think about that. Three first-rounders. I mean, that's Russell Wilson price tag.
Felt like a steal after the end of that regular season. Felt like an absolute steal.
100%. He was Offensive Rookie of the Year. There was hope. He was electric. He lit the league on fire. And I remember at the time being like, why do we use a fourth-round pick on Kirk Cousins when we're clearly RG3's our guy? Anyway, but then, I mean, like, then RG3 gets injured, and he's doing the commercials, and in practice, Kirk Cousins is better. Jay Gruden is now the head coach, and Snyder wants RG3 to be the quarterback, and the team wants Cousins. They're just in practice. They're seeing Cousins is doing better, and Gruden has to ultimately goes to Snyder and says, if I don't start Kirk Cousins over RG3, I'm going to lose the locker room, and so that's what ends up happening. And, I mean, just after that injury, RG3 was just never the same. You know, after the ACL tear in the playoff game against Seattle. And it's just, you know, just, again, where those two were drafted, and then for, like, he's now a broadcaster. He's out of the league, right? And he's in a suit and tie interviewing Kirk Cousins at the Pro Bowl, who's playing for another team. Neither of them on Washington anymore. Like, it's just... There's so much history in that picture, Jay Croucher.
I still think that's the best rookie season I've ever seen. What he was doing to the league, it felt like he was playing a different sport. The game against New Orleans, just absolute insanity. That's the best year for the command. I mean, obviously it's not the best year because of how it ended, but up until that point, that's the best Commanders.
I did an interview, sequence. I forget who, Betsports. Anyway, this blog, and they interviewed me for my favorite Washington moments. And I'm like, as a fan, you know, for my entire life, the Sean Taylor hitting the Pro Bowl is one of them, like, my top 10 Washington moments. Like, you know, the three Super Bowl wins, obviously, specifically, you know, John Riggins' run on fourth and one to beat the Dolphins in that Super Bowl. But RG3's rookie year is absolutely, like, one of my top five. And that New Orleans game, the first game of the season, where you didn't know what you were going to – like, he was obviously highly drafted, but you didn't know. And then, like, just seeing his speed and the running and the offense that Kyle was the offense coordinator. Mike Shanahan, the head coach, had put in, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I got goosebumps. And, like, I suddenly had hope, like, real legitimate hope as a Washington fan. And, yes, Offensive Rookie of the Year, he was electric. I drafted him as my War Room League quarterback at ESPN, which is the big 16-team league that, like, all the guys are in. And, like, and I won the league that year, so I, like, proved myself to all these, you know, NFL people at ESPN. They're like, fantasy, rah, 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 nerd, nerd, nerd. And, you know, and anyway, like, and I beat all these, you know, all these insiders and, you know, ex-NFL coaches that knew stuff. And anyway, it was just awesome. Love RG3. Still one of my favorite players. But that photo is just mind-blowing when you know all the backstory.
There's a lot going on there. All right, also a lot going on with Super Bowl headlines, which we'll jump into now. The big story, Patrick Mahomes, his ankle. He said he avoided any setbacks in the game against the Bengals. I think he's just going to be 98%. I don't think he's going to be that limited. The fact that he was able to play at that level, and yes, it was awkward in the second half after he re-aggravated, but you look at his stat line, it was still just the Mahomes normal stat line. Two more weeks, I think that he's just going to be fine.
Yeah, and it's not like they beat, oh, I don't know, a 49ers team that was on their sixth-string quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, they beat Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he had to make some classic Mahomes throws. He had to make some classic drives, like, in that game. Like, you know, and honestly, that game, if it wasn't for the bad, it wasn't, not fumble, whatever you call that, yeah, you know, just, like the weird pass, you know, like if it wasn't for that, that game maybe isn't even as close as it wound up being.
Yeah, and he put up that stat line without any wide receivers outside of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And I think, to me, that's the bigger news going into the Super Bowl. It's not so much Mahomes, who I think will be fine. It's what's the health of the Chiefs' wide receivers. Looks like Mecole Hardman has all but been ruled out. He's doubtful with the pelvis. But it looks like Juju Smith-Schuster in particular, he should be able to play. And then Kadarius Toney is a bit more suspect, but he should be able to go as well. And if Mahomes is able to beat the Bengals with no one outside of MVS and Kelce, who's getting double teamed every play, then I think he's going to have more than enough if Juju and Toney play.
Yeah, I think so. And neither of those guys, Toney and Juju, played last week. But you know, the 2 weeks to get set. My feeling is that, you know, it's a Super Bowl. I think both guys will be ultimately out there. And even if Juju and Kadarius Toney are on limited snaps, that's going to be enough. They'll have specific packages for them. Both guys, I think, are important for the Chiefs because Darius Slay and James Bradbury are so good on the corners. Like, having Juju, who's a slot guy, having Kadarius Toney, who's like this gadget guy that you can do a bunch of different things with and you can motion and create mismatches with him, those two guys are important to try to avoid Bradbury and Slay.
Yeah, and I think he just needs one. Just give him one of those guys who's close to 100% to go with Kelce and MVS, and I think that's probably going to be enough because Mahomes, he's the only quarterback in the league who appears to be relatively wide receiver-proof. The fact that Tyreek Hill can leave and he still is able to do what he does. Yeah. Obviously, MVS goes off against the Bengals. You can't expect that every week, but he certainly delivered.
By the way, cut to Marcus Kemp and Sky Moore saying, what, Jay Crouch, what are we, we're chopped liver over here? You said he had nothing. We were out there.
They were also out there and they were covered.
To that point, I mean, 10 targets combined between Pacheco and McKinnon, as you see it there on your screen, right? I mean, like, he had to target the running backs quite a bit. And it's really interesting as we sort of, like, get into the props, and we'll get into this throughout the week. But I do think, and, like, Juju's not listed. Kadarius Toney, there's no line yet on either of those guys because you don't know yet if they're playing. But I do think the over on the receptions for those guys is it like on Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco, I think, is 2.5 receptions.
Yep, and he's around 15.5 receiving yards as well. I think he goes over. We were talking about this on the way here.
Yeah.
He's just better than McKinnon, and the upside that he gives you, he had that Marshawn Lynch type of run down the left sideline against the Bengals, which was so key. It just seems like they've gotten more confidence in him progressively as the season goes over. And we'll get into all the props. The one I really like the early, though, Mahomes over 19.5 rushing yards. I think they give him a play, or he just does it early, just to establish that so you have to protect against it the rest of the game.
I'll give you two that I like here. Both quarterbacks are at 1.5 touchdown passes. And so give me the over on both of them, but especially over on Jalen Hurts. So I have a correlated Jalen Hurts bet. I like the over on 1.5 passing touchdowns here. Remember, the Chiefs gave up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL this year. The most. And so, and also, by the way, I like the under on 49.5 rushing yards for Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
We talked about this on the show last Thursday. Everyone wants to talk about Mahomes' ankle. Jalen Hurts is not 100%.
No.
He is out there. He's wincing. He's gutting it out. But I think they will try to limit his rushing. I think both the Eagles and Chiefs will try to limit his rushing. So I think the way to attack Kansas City isn't against that defensive line. Philadelphia is always going to run, but I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be AJ Brown, it's going to be Goddard, it's going to be Devontae Smith, and trying to attack that secondary, which has been, to be kind, inconsistent this year. So yeah, give me the over on 1.5 passing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts and the under on his rushing.
Yep, I like that. On the Eagles side, I don't think we need to touch on this too much. Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson, Avante Maddox, all expected to play. So they are 100% healthy outside of the Jalen Hurts question.
Lane Johnson being back obviously is going to help Jalen Hurts just period, but will help his rushing. But 49.5 is a big number.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the under there too. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, a little free agency preview.
Way to sell that.
Don't know. Yeah, it's a free agent's preview. We'll talk Lamar Jackson.
So many big names are free agents. Where are they going to go? We break it down next, live from Radio Row.
That's a great Australian accent.
That's how you sell it, Jay Croucher. For the love of God, wake up.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, we are back from Radio Row, about to jump into an enthusiastically foreshadowed free agency preview. We're going to hit some of these with Florio in the next segment as well.
Yep.
Get his info, but
this will fill out, by the way. I know this looks lame. If you're seeing the picture, go back to that for a second. Go back to that shot. Can you go back to that shot? Look, I know this looks lame. You're like, what the? But I promise you, like, the problem is that we're on so early. But it's Monday, so it's Monday at like, you know, 10:26 a.m. local time here. But this will be filled up, and you know, especially like as you get later in the week, for people that are unfamiliar with Radio Row, like it'll be crazy. And what happens is like. Big celebrities like somebody like that's insanely recognizable, like Shaq.
Yes.
Like Shaq will be promoting whatever Shaq is promoting, right? And Shaq will be coming in and like will get swarmed by every producer, everyone. Shaq, come on this show, come on this show, come on this show. And it's just like, because every single table you see there is a show. And even though some of them aren't there yet, like, and then you see some around the what you can't see is everything, but there's on the outside, the little tables are like radio shows or podcasts or whatever. And then on the outside are the bigger booths for NBC has a big booth there. You see like DraftKings and FanDuel there, TikTok, and, you know, all the way around and some of the other networks as well. So like SiriusXM has a big booth here. So just so you know, it's less lame than you might think.
Yes.
From that picture.
It's good that we got the big booth.
That we have the big booth.
Yeah, we love the big booth.
Yeah.
Big fans of the big booth.
Big booth, right. We're sharing it with a bunch of people. We should tell who we're sharing it with, actually. Right? I mean, because where's the lineup? I'm going to do that now. We have a whole lineup Peacock. So on Peacock, live from the Super Bowl, it starts off with the Dan Patrick Show. Then it's us.
Yep. Then it's Mike Florio with PFT Live that follows us.
Right.
Then we got Brother from Another.
And then Brother from Another. There you go. You knew it off the top of your head.
Yeah, I just wanted to see you fumble around with your papers a little bit.
Yeah.
It's good
content.
It's
not even, like, I have six. Okay, we can get off the Radio Row show. We're like, all right, there we go. How about that? There you go. Now, it's fantastic. It's early here for everyone. There you go. Dan Patrick, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, PFT Live, and then Brother from Another. That is your lineup this week, live on Peacock from the Super Bowl from Radio Row. So
okay. We've also got a good lineup of free agent quarterbacks, Matthew, including.
Let's get into that. Yes, sir.
Lamar Jackson. The headliner, certainly, but also Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I've heard
Sam
of all these
Darnold,
guys. Yes!
Derek Carr's not a free agent, but I think he kind of is in this mix as well. Feels like it's not usually that you have this amount of people. So we see them lay it over a relatively empty Radio Row. Lamar Jackson, obviously, he is the key one. Do you have a gut feel on where he goes before Florio gives us the inside scoop?
I think he stays in Baltimore. I think they franchise tag him if they can't figure something out. I mean, this would be my take. I think the biggest name here that potentially changes teams is Garoppolo. Garoppolo and Derek Carr, who's not technically a free agent, but, you know, they've supposedly given him if there's a trade that the Raiders will agree to the compensation, he can talk, but I just don't know how the Ravens let Lamar Jackson walk. Even if Lamar Jackson says, I don't want to be here, I hate you, let me go, they're still going to franchise tag him and then maybe trade him. Like, I don't see him just walking to some other team.
Yeah, he's one of the 10 most valuable players in the sport, obviously unanimous MVP in 2019. And I know there are some people who are like concerned about Lamar Jackson. Do you really want Lamar Jackson with yourself? It's Lamar Jackson. Every team who does not have a top five quarterback should be going out of their way to get Lamar Jackson. I agree, Jimmy G is the most likely one to move. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's basically said he's not coming back.
Right.
So it seems like
it's going to be Trey Lance and Brock Purdy there in San Francisco, that's a good thing to talk to Florio about and see where they're leaning. But, I feel like Daniel Jones gets franchise tagged too. Like they, you know, and. Yep. Which is so funny because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They could have had him on a rookie deal. And what are you going to do? But anyway, like, but Daboll said that, you know, that they want him back. And so my expectation is that they work out something with Daniel Jones. And if I'm Daniel Jones, I think you want to be back in New York, too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's made it work in that system. Clearly, Daboll has been good for him, reigniting his career. And he's in this same caliber of player now as Jimmy Garoppolo, as the resurgent Geno Smith, who I think is probably minus 5,000 to go back to Seattle. That seems pretty locked in. And I think that his weapons in New York are underrated. Get Wandale Robinson back. Maybe they sign a receiver as well. And you've already got Hodgins and Slayton and maybe Saquon Barkley too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if because they turned down the fifth-year option, if they can franchise tag him. I don't totally understand all that. That's not my job. That's what Mike Florio does. But here's what I will say. If I'm Daniel Jones, you've struggled for 4 years. You finally got a coach. You know, you finally got a coach in Daboll. You finally had success. Like, why are you going to go, like,
to Carolina or whatever?
Be an NFL nomad.
Yep.
New York's going to pay for him, and, like, he made himself a lot of money this season, especially this offseason. And so I think Daniel Jones stays there. And to your point about Geno Smith, like, I just, again, that's a, you know, like, he's been in Seattle for a long time. Like, this is his first year starting, but he was the backup to Russell Wilson for a long time. Seattle's a good place. Pete Carroll is known as a very player-friendly coach. Hard to see Geno moving on as well. I mean, there's always if somebody comes over the top, I suppose, and we'll see. But it would be hard for me to see Geno playing somewhere else next year as well. So I think it's Garoppolo, Darnold, and Derek Carr are the biggest quarterback names that we see on another team. Just for fun, where do you think Garoppolo goes? Where would you like to see Derek Carr goes? If you could wave your magic Australian stick, your boomerang... Did you have a boomerang as a kid?
I didn't. Maybe a toy one at one point.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Doesn't every kid in Australia get a boomerang?
Yeah, we ride kangaroos to school as well.
I knew it. Yeah, we do. The little pouches.
Yeah.
Like you hop in and of course.
We do.
That's what the pouches are for.
Yeah. It's still going to be a legendary soundbite of you talking about when I wasn't on the show, you talking about kangaroos serving Mai Tais to me while I was on holiday.
It's the greatest thing ever, by the way. And I have copywritten that idea, so no one steal my kangaroos and tuxedo serving drinks idea.
If I
that's what was happening.
Yes, as I leap out from my pouch, if I could wave my magic Australian stick and send
it's a boomerang. It's called a boomerang.
It's called a boomerang. Yeah, sorry. I would like to see one of those guys on the Jets because I think the Jets are the one team. It's not just because I like the Jets. They're the one team where if they get a real quarterback, and they didn't have a real quarterback situation this year, Mike White was great for a couple of games, but they need a better solution than that. He's a strong backup. He's not the starter who can lead you to the Super Bowl. I just think particularly with how the Bills, and they've got a lot of free agents, and they got a lot of uncertainty. The Dolphins, we don't really know what's going to happen there with Tua Tagovailoa going forward. Like, they can win the NFC East. If they get Jimmy G or Derek Carr, the AFC East. They can win the AFC East. They can be a Super Bowl contender because the defense is so good. The offensive line with Becton and AVT is going to get better. Garrett Wilson is a weapon. We'll see what they do at the receiver position outside of that. But I'd like to see them with Carr or Garoppolo, preferably Carr.
Well, the other thing is we should talk to Florio about this. I mean, it feels like that the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett, because I agree with you, the Jets are a quarterback away from being legit Super Bowl contenders. The Jets are a quarterback away from being legit Super Bowl contenders. And the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett sort of seems to be a bat signal for Aaron Rodgers, because there's no other argument for Nathaniel Hackett.
No, there's not.
I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I'm just like, in all seriousness, like his numbers without Aaron Rodgers are fairly pedestrian as an offensive coordinator, right? I mean, and obviously this past year in Denver was a disaster. And so that's the argument, is that he has this tight relationship with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, can sort of dictate where he goes, and there seems to be legit smoke to the fire of Aaron Rodgers could get traded this offseason.
Yeah.
As the Packers tear it all down?
It's a weird sentence to say out loud, but I think you do have to regress Nathaniel Hackett to the mean a little bit, given that 12 months ago a team saw enough in him to make him a head coach. Now he's going back to being an OC. And yes, I agree that it doesn't really seem to have done that much impressive.
But wasn't the argument for Nathaniel Hackett was that the Denver thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers? Like, at the time that happened, they didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to come back. Aaron Rodgers had the choice last season to go wherever he wanted. And so that was sort of the big play to get Aaron Rodgers. Then Aaron Rodgers ultimately signed for $150 million or whatever it was to go back to Green Bay.
It would be amazing if 2 years in a row a team hired Nathaniel Hackett to get Aaron Rodgers and then wound up with Russell Wilson and Derek Carr.
Right.
And then next year, I think we made this joke before, but Atlanta hired Nathaniel Hackett to get Aaron Rodgers and they wind up with,
you know, I mean, I've never met Nathaniel Hackett. I'm sure he's a very good football coach and you know, a good dude and you know, and well respected within the league and has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. I'm sure of all those things. You sort of look at the numbers and the track record and you're sort of surprised because offensive coordinator of the Jets, I think, is a good job. Again, they don't have a quarterback yet, but like there's pieces there.
Yeah.
There's real pieces there, especially by the way, when they get Breece Hall back. I mean, like, anyway.
They got a lot there. All right. Well, you know who does have impressive numbers, Matthew? Yep. Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, two of the running back free agents. They headline a class with Tony Pollard, David Montgomery, and Super Bowl participant Miles Sanders. Now, there's a lot more uncertainty, naturally, at the running back position in free agency than quarterback, where quarterbacks so frequently just go back to their team. I think certainly the Giants will want Saquon back. Seems like Jacobs, despite everything that's happened, he expressed the desire to go back to Vegas. So we'll see what happens there. But much more plug and play the running back position.
Yeah, Jacobs is the really interesting. I think Saquon stays in New York. I think Sanders stays in Philadelphia. To me, the two most interesting guys here are Jacobs and Pollard. Pollard proved he could be an every down guy. And I think Pollard depends on a couple of things. First off, I'm sure Dallas wants him back, but Dallas also has, I mean, and we're going to get to there, but like they also have Dalton Schultz as a free agent, right? I mean, and they've got some big name guys coming up soon that they're going to have to pay. And so what's going on with Dallas? Plus, by the way, Zeke, they're out of guaranteed money on Ezekiel Elliott. And so they want to get out of that contract. So Zeke has said he would do a restructured deal, but assuming they want to bring Zeke back, does Tony Pollard like that? Or does Tony Pollard like, I want to be the guy. You know, if I get us down to the 3-yard line, I want to score the touchdown, not have to come out and watch Zeke fall into the end zone and, you know, do that again. You know, like, right? You know, for people listening, I made the whole eating thing, the fast eating with a spoon thing.
Yeah. I'd love to see Tony Pollard on a team like Baltimore. Just give Lamar Jackson another weapon, get them more explosive, share time with Dobbins, who I don't think is a full-time workhorse back with all the injuries he's been through at this point.
I mean, Baltimore's pretty interesting. I'd like to see Tony Pollard play on a, you know, on a team with like San Francisco. I mean, they already have McCaffrey, but like, I mean, like, think about Pollard like on San Francisco. Think about, you know, a team that like has speed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, I feel like Baltimore isn't like a fast, fast team. Like, they're like more of a grinded out. Like,
they should be, though. They should be. They should have more of an explosive element. They should be back to that 2019 kind of dominate the league video game type style. But yeah, I think Tony Pollard, I mean, I think Tony Pollard's on talent, the top 5 running back in the league. And I think he showed that for stretches, particularly what he can do in the passing game.
No, I agree. But my question is like, if Dallas brings back Zeke, so that's really interesting about Tony Pollard. Because again, breakout year for Pollard, who proved he could be an every down back, a between the tackles guy, a guy that can handle 20 touches a game, big playability as well. I mean, like, think about him in Arizona, Tony Pollard in Arizona, assuming Kyler gets right. Like, you know, we got to figure out who their coach is going to be, but like, that could be fun. So Pollard to me is the most interesting. You know, Montgomery, it's fine. Montgomery's been fine, but he's been very volume based.
Yeah. Not the most exciting name, David Montgomery. And
no,
also,
he's I don't want to say he's just a guy. I think he's better than just a guy, but I don't know that he's a lot better than just a guy. Like, I mean, I don't think he's the best running back on his team.
No, no.
I think Khalil Herbert is.
Big Khalil Herbert show. Fantasy Football Happy Hour.
So, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Montgomery as well. A lot more, especially because the market for running backs generally is, they're fungible. They're just, you know, you sort of. Much more so. Yep. So,
let's hit some of the wide receivers, not a star studded. A class,
no.
Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Alan Lazard, Darius Slayton, DJ Chark. I think all these guys can be useful in the right situation, but no real game changes. No, also just the star quality doesn't really stack up to Barkley, Jacobs, even Pollard. I think Jacoby Myers with an elite quarterback could be really interesting. Juju, I just don't think it's going to happen just with the health. I mean, this was the year where I think it would have happened for him. Alan Lazard's not going to get a much better situation than Aaron Rodgers throwing to him and the target share that he consistently gets. And then Slayton. I really like Darius Slayton.
DJ Chark is somebody who, again, has performed at a high level in this league. you know, and another year removed from the injury, right? I mean, like, he was really good in Jacksonville. And I wonder if Detroit, that sits there and goes, you know, we're going to have Jameson Williams next year. And we've obviously already got Amon-Ra St. Brown. Whatever, they got some, you know, role players, the Josh Reynolds of the world. And so I wonder if DJ Shark, you know, in the right situation, might look to go somewhere else where he could be a guy. But it doesn't feel like, as you look at those names, there's not a guy that goes like, oh, who's going to get some kind of, you know, who's going to get the crazy Christian Kirk contract first day of free agency? You don't think you're going to see that out of any of these guys. And by the way, credit to Jacksonville, because when he signed that deal, everyone was like, really? $84 million for Christian Kirk, and you know what?
Seems like a fine value now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tight end. Some bigger names here, at least relative to the position. Dalton Schultz, your man, Evan Engram, who cost you dearly this year, Matthew.
So angry.
Mike Gesicki, Hayden Hurst, and then the immortal Bob Tonyan. I think the top two guys are definitely the most interesting here. Evan Engram, I think Jacksonville would love to see him back after the career year that he had. And then Dalton Schultz, I don't think he really wants to leave Dak Prescott, because we saw what happened with Cooper Rush. His production fell off a cliff. Him and Dak clearly have a rapport. Would expect to probably see him back in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would agree there. But again, Dallas has a lot of questions, right? And so, like, they couldn't come to a deal with Schultz last year. So they had to franchise tag Schultz last year. And so now it's another year in, and if he can get a deal somewhere else, hard to see. I'm not worried about – I mean, I think Miami would be fine to let Gesicki go. Bob Tonyan, also same thing. Hayden Hurst, you know, I mean, seemed to feel like he became a big part of that Bengals offense. You know, had two pedestrian years with Baltimore and Atlanta, and then two more pedestrian years with the Falcons. And so feels like he sort of came into his own in Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's interesting because they know they're going to have to – Hurst isn't going to cost that much. But, you know, they've got some deals coming up as well, some guys. Although, who knows, you know, like, you know, maybe they'll free up some Mixon money.
Yeah, up some Mixon money.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Mike Florio joins
the great
show.
Mike
Talk
Florio.
Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, San Francisco quarterback situation. Is that a better lead-out,
Matthew?
It's
a much better lead-out. Mike Florio will drop exclusive information on this show next.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
NBC Sports at the Super Bowl, live on Peacock. We start with the Dan Patrick Show every morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Then it is Fantasy Football Happy Hour with me, Matthew Berry, 12 to 1. And then after me comes Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk Live. He goes 1 to 3, and then at 3 o'clock, it is Brother from Another. Speaking of PFT Live, the great Mike Florio joins us now from ProFootballTalk.com. Sims is still signing autographs somewhere.
He's right over there. He's giving us the finger.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Listen, I'm just amazed he's here and not, you know, from somewhere far away. That he made it out here. I would have thought Sims would have been from home.
He's usually the one who is happy to show up at things. Now he leaves as quickly as he can, and you can't get him to go out to dinner or actually do anything.
Socialize.
I'm the one that prefers to stay in my cave, although it's kind of nice to be back here. Phoenix is a great host city, and it feels like there's a lot more energy in the building day one than I can remember. Usually the first 2 days are kind of ghost town, and then it starts to ramp up. And you in the past have been at ESPN, so you guys like have your own little private world.
They
don't let you come over here.
1,000%. Not only would they let you not come over here, I mean, ESPN has a policy that you are not allowed to do non-ESPN shows. It's just a policy, and if you literally have to like Bill Simmons would have me on his podcast every year. Bill's an old friend, and I would literally have to go and like get approval to go on Simmons' show, or if I want to do Dan Patrick or any other show, like you have to go get approval.
Do
that's just ESPN policy.
Do they ever explain the reason? I mean, is the
it's a competitive reason. They feel it's one that I disagree with.
You're promoting. You're jamming your content into someone else's show. Well, Jason, you're saying, I don't give a crap about what these guys are talking about. Let's talk about football.
It's one of those weird things where it started from local radio where they wouldn't want you to go on a non-ESPN affiliate. But I'm always just like, right, when you come on the air, they're going to say, like, here's ESPN's Matthew Berry.
Yes.
You know, they're promoting our stuff.
Yes.
So anyway, but whatever it is, that's the policy there. At least it was, you know, a year ago. And so when I would come out here, and ESPN did not, they never had me part of their NFL coverage. It's one of the reasons why I came to NBC. So I was always, as soon as the regular football season was done, I was done. So I would come out here on my own dime, you know, and like do some Radio Row stuff just to promote, you know, with only ESPN affiliates. But I never got to do anything for ESPN proper during Super Bowl week because that's just the NFL folks, the NFL Live folks, and the Countdown folks, and I wasn't part of that world. So this is my first time broadcasting from Radio Row or even broadcasting at all Super Bowl week. So I'm very excited and grateful and appreciative of
NBC. So, like, when you were
at
ESPN, they didn't think you were qualified to come up with, like, I don't know, a list of the all-time five greatest quarterbacks that was complete and total crap? You didn't get to do that?
I did not.
Oh, wow.
They would not let me do that.
That's
they
a
would
miss.
Again, the people that run the NFL over at ESPN and the people that run fantasy at ESPN, and I was in the fantasy department, two entirely separate departments. And so just, you know, anyway, it's just how that company does their stuff.
Did you realize I was throwing a stray at someone when I said
yes,
that? Okay,
and I was
just making sure. You're being professional about it.
I'm being a professional. I had a great run at ESPN for 15 years. I love a lot of the people that are still there. I have lifelong friends that are still there. I don't have anything bad to say about ESPN. I want to take the high road. I know. You can take shots. I want to take the high road because I do. I genuinely appreciate my time at ESPN and whatever. I have no issue with ESPN. I'm thrilled to be at NBC, but I don't need to trash the X.
I was that kid that was always like, boy, it would be fun to do that without thinking through the ramifications of doing it.
Yeah,
just was always like, boy, it would be fun to do that. So that's the, and it's never really gone away.
No, I know, but you know, I don't need to turn this into whole ESPN.
That's all right,
But let's talk actual football.
Let's talk Lamar Jackson.
Let's talk about what people want to hear.
I heard you tease my scoop. I've been working very hard on it.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know anything.
Nothing?
I don't know anything more than anybody else does. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
All right.
What I think is going to happen is they're going to try to negotiate a long-term deal with Lamar Jackson. They're going to fail. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's two different universes. It can't happen. Barring some organic change in the way the team views it or the way Lamar Jackson views it, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. So, March 7th, franchise tag deadline.
Okay.
Non-exclusive or exclusive? Now, I think it's going to be non-exclusive. I know that others have said exclusive.
Okay.
I firmly believe they're going to go non-exclusive because it's kind of the way to call his bluff. Hey, you think somebody's going to just drop a 5-year fully guaranteed contract out of the blue on your table without an agent to properly engage? Like, how do you even begin the process of negotiating with another team if you're Lamar Jackson, you don't have an agent? How does that even work? And the Ravens have experienced how difficult it is to negotiate with someone who doesn't have an agent. So fine, go ahead. Go ahead. See what you can find. And if you get it, we can match it. And if you don't, we'll take the two first-round picks. But I think they believe he won't be able to get what he wants from another team.
See, I think here, this is much more your world than mine. But I just think in a world in which Deshaun Watson gets the deal he did, with all the baggage that came with Deshaun Watson and not having played, you know, in what would be 2 years and knowing there was likely a suspension coming and all that, if Deshaun Watson gets that kind of deal and you're Lamar Jackson and you're like, I've already won an MVP. You know what I mean? And like,
when?
Yes.
4 years ago.
Okay. Oh, he's, I mean, like.
I know. But where is he right now?
Well,
that's,
I mean,
the
when
problem.
He went down, he was a top five MVP candidate this year. I think Lamar has almost become a little underrated. I'm not sure. I think it's mainly based off of the injury concerns. But, I mean, he got injured at the end of last season. And then this season, I would imagine there would be some element of self-preservation because of his free agent status. So I'm not sure how much we can 100% read into that. And I still think when he's out on the field, he's a top 7 quarterback in the NFL.
So many teams are desperate for quarterbacks the fact of the matter is that, I mean, Watson got the crazy deal he got from Cleveland, but it's not like there weren't a ton of other teams saying, like, hey, we will back up the Brinks truck for you.
But not 5 years fully guaranteed.
Okay, I understand.
And think about the backlash that the Browns got.
Sure, but Lamar Jackson doesn't have that kind of baggage.
Right. Oh, I understand. Look, I just think that when you consider where he currently is, when you consider that he has been injured each of the last two seasons, and I agree with you. I think at the end of the year, he may have been able to play. If he had had a long-term deal, maybe he would have played. And this is a benefit of having an agent. An agent can lead the charge for you in the media to say, this is why I can't let my client go back on the field. He doesn't have his long-term financial reward that he has earned. Of course, the irony is, if he had an agent, he'd already have the deal, so he wouldn't need to do it. But it'll be fascinating to see if someone does it, because it's not just the contract. It's two first-round picks. And it's a lot to give up when we have the Russell Wilson contract as a cautionary tale. We've got Kyler Murray as a cautionary tale. And Deshaun Watson is still incomplete.
Team. All you need is one desperate team.
And that one team did it last year. The question is there another one? Will the Jets do it?
Maybe Commanders. If Snyder hangs on.
Panthers.
If Snyder doesn't sell it, that's the kind of crazy move that Snyder would do.
And the Panthers, too. I mean, look, the Panthers were a team that was considering Sean Payton. And it's easy to justify, hey, we didn't have to give up anything to get a coach. We can devote what we would have given to get Sean Payton plus a little more to get Lamar Jackson. Okay, you're kind of talking me into it. I just think 5 years fully guaranteed. And knowing how strongly the league, Big Shield, reacted to it, that's a tough bridge to cross.
I mean, and also, by the way, I mean, but just speaking about the Commanders, I didn't even thought about this. But, like, again, like, if the Commanders sell to Jeff Bezos, you know, or somebody that has, you know, billions of dollars, what better way to, you know, announce yourself as a, you know, is, hey, I'm going to back up the Brinks truck and bring in Lamar Jackson.
Right, but as a new owner, and I think we've seen the Broncos do this a little bit, you want to tread lightly first year or two on the job, and you don't want to come in and upset the apple cart with a 5-year fully guaranteed contract. So I think that's part of the problem. You saw Russell Wilson could have said, I want one too. We didn't have any reason to think that he was starting to disintegrate.
Decline.
And he didn't get one. I don't think the Broncos were going to give him one because they don't want to be that persona non grata. So I think if Bezos or whoever would buy the Commanders, it's just a lot. I mean, look at the timeline. We're going to be at free agency in, 5 weeks?
Yeah.
It's not going to be closed by then. They're going to have to go forward. And they're already planning to go forward with
Sam Howell.
John Belushi.
There you go.
My
quarterback. By the way, hang on. I just want to clean one thing up that you said. You said Russell Wilson disintegrate. As far as we know, he is still fully formed in matter.
Yeah, that's true. I apologize.
No
Avengers, that was irresponsible.
No Avengers Infinity Wars.
Yes.
Slip. I don't want anyone to say, like, and Fantasy Football Happy Hour is reporting that, you know, that parts of Russell Wilson are falling apart. Yeah. No. They would decline in play.
Yes.
Also,
and it may not be him. It may be Nathaniel Hackett. We're going to find out this
Let's
year.
Let's go there.
Also in corporeal form is Derek Carr, who is much more likely to switch teams than Lamar Jackson. I think clearly. What are you hearing about Carr, Mike?
I think that Carr is going to get cut before next Wednesday. And all this other stuff is just talk. It's all just noise. The Raiders
are misplaying
this.
He's due a roster bonus.
He's not due anything. He's got $40.4 million that goes from being guaranteed for injury to fully guaranteed. That's why they benched him. The moment they knew that we don't want him next year is the moment they took him off the field.
So they've got if they don't cut him by next Wednesday, if he's still on the roster by next Wednesday, he gets $40 million next year.
He gets $32.5 million in 2023 and $7.5 million the year after that. So he's got $40.4 million in play. And that's why they're going to cut him. Worst case scenario for him, best case scenario, whatever. I don't know, whatever. The alternative scenario is they have a trade worked out that would be official the first day of the new league year. But they run the risk. And this is an amazing wrinkle to me because the deal is completely unenforceable to trade him.
Okay.
If they would have a trade by next Wednesday, they still are carrying $40.4 million. They have a deal that's tentative that becomes final the first day of the league year. A team could do to Josh McDaniels the exact thing that Josh McDaniels did to the Colts 5 years ago. Nothing is binding. There is no consequence. You don't get in trouble. Both teams have to insert the key and turn it at the start of the league year for a trade to happen. Until that occurs, everybody knows. Everybody's an adult in here. There's a chance that the deal is going to fall apart. That would be something if somebody does to McDaniels what McDaniels did to the Colts.
And the Colts do need a quarterback.
And it would be even more.
Can you imagine if Jim Irsay says?
Oh, revenge is best served 5 years later.
Yeah, right? Yep.
Last one for you, Mike.
But and Derek Carr has a no-trade clause, right?
Right. And
so, like, if you're Derek Carr, you just say, I'm not accepting a trade, cut me on Wednesday or pay me $40 million.
Exactly.
And then I can have my choice.
And you got a five-week head start on the market.
Yeah, correct.
You're free and clear to go meet with teams, sign with a team. It's a no-brainer.
Cut we expect there to be a healthy market for Carr, I would assume.
Cut me or pay me. Anybody that would trade for $40.4 million fully guaranteed, that's the other side of it. If you're going to give the Raiders value and pay him what he's due under his current contract, you'd probably pay him more if you didn't have to give the Raiders something to get him.
Right,
so
right.
It's all pointing to Carr saying, cut me or pay me, I'm not cooperating with you, and he'll be a free agent by the end of next week.
Right. We've got to go to break, but in a word, week one starter, San Francisco, Lance or Purdy, who you got?
Well, Joe Montana saying it should be Jimmy Garoppolo, which was kind of surprising. I think it's going to be Lance. I don't think Purdy's going to be healthy. Yeah. I don't know, but I just have a feeling they're going to give. They still have a lot to justify in everything they gave up to get Lance.
Yep. All right. We will check you out on Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Good job as always.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Good luck navigating Radio
I'm
Row.
Up here.
Okay.
All
good.
Right.
Stay up here.
See you guys.
You want to stay for the next segment? You can.
I got a show.
Oh, well. What are you going to do? We'll watch that.
All right, let's take a look at the most bet team in each state for the Super Bowl. Not a lot of love for the Kansas City Chiefs outside of, there's a little
Kansas.
One in Massachusetts.
I don't
is that Massachusetts?
Get this. Jay, what am I missing? The Chiefs are the better team to me.
Yeah, Mark, world's wrong. World's going crazy, Matthew. We're
I don't
look
understand.
Back.
I am absolutely fading the public. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs. I'll take the Chiefs money line. I'll take the Chiefs with the points as well. I'm going to use promo code Barry at BetMGM. As well, for a risk-free first bet of up to $1,000.
Sneak that one in.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I think, yeah. Look,
give me the Chiefs.
World's gone mad. We're right. Everyone else is wrong. Chiefs should be favored in this. We're going to look back in 3 years and be like, how was Patrick Mahomes an underdog in the Super Bowl to Jalen Hurts? No disrespect to Jalen Hurts. He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. It's Patrick
Andy
Mahomes.
Reid off of a bye with in the Patrick Mahomes era, including playoffs, Andy Reid off of a bye, I believe, is now 10-1. Including the win against Jacksonville. And this is basically a bye. He's had 2 weeks to prepare for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles have had an unbelievable season. Jalen Hurts is my fantasy ride or die. You know all this. It's Andy Reid. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. I don't.
Yep. We spoke about this earlier.
I don't understand how this isn't a pick 'em.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed that every state is on the Eagles other than Kansas.
I think it should be KC minus two. I think the better way to bet it, though, is Mahomes MVP, which is plus 135. That's better than betting Chiefs money line plus 105. I think he's a 95% chance to win, close to that, if the Chiefs win. And also, maybe he could win even if they don't win. The first time we could see that with Mahomes just has an amazing game.
If the Chiefs win, and if you think the Chiefs are going to win, and we do, then Mahomes at plus 135 is the MVP, is the best bet because, like, think about the last time the Chiefs won Super Bowl. And we are out?
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.